Living Your Baptism, Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, 21 to 22. How many of you were baptized? How many of you are serious about living out your baptismal covenant? There is a ridiculous story regarding the baptism. It is a legendary story, but it seems to be true because it is in the record. The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire records the baptism story of Constantine the Great. How many of you know about Constantine the Great? Constantine was one of the most important Roman emperors who ruled between 306 and 337 AD. He was the first Roman emperor to convert to Christianity. He played an influential role in the proclamation of the Edict of Milan in 313, which declared religious tolerance for Christianity in the Roman Empire. He called the First Council of Nicaea in 325, which produced the statement of Christian belief known as the Nicene Creed. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built on his orders at the purported site of Jesus' tomb in Jerusalem and became the holiest place in Christendom. According to church history, despite his friendly attitude and zeal for Christianity, Constantine was postponing his baptism to have membership in the church just before his death. At the time, one of the misunderstandings about the doctrine of baptism among Christians was that to be forgiven was only by baptism. People believed that baptism is the only way to be forgiven by God, and they did not know what to do with their sins after the baptism. Therefore, they want to wash all their sins at once by being baptized before they die. As a king, Constantine had to fight in war and kill many people, so he postponed his baptism until he is close to death. Today, we read another amazing baptism story. It is the story of Jesus' baptism. Today's gospel lesson starts with saying that as the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. Since they were waiting for the Messiah for a long time, they were filled with a lot of expectation. They were waiting for the Messiah, who is the one who comes to save them from the spears and swords of the Roman Empire. According to the Jewish messianic idea, the Messiah must have the ability to break down the world's powers into a foe. Psalm chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 describe the power of the Messiah that, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Based on this, they believed that when the Messiah came, he would bring down the Roman Empire by his power and make Judea, which is of the Davidic dynasty, to be a national leader. They expected the Messiah as a king or general who can wield his absolute power. Therefore, Jesus could not be the Messiah whom they were waiting for. Jesus did not have any power to suppress the people of authority in the world. He was neither a king nor a general. He was born as the son of a carpenter, and he was far from an elite group. People despised Jesus' hometown, Nazareth, by saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" John 1:48. And even he was rejected in his hometown, Nazareth. Jesus was just one of the ordinary people. He was not the one who can satisfy the expectation of the Jews. So he was far from the Messiah whom they were expecting to come. Therefore, later, they finally crucified Jesus on the cross. And sadly, today, this still happens as well. For some people, Jesus is understood as one who can satisfy their needs and expectations. So they only find Jesus when they have something to ask. And if their needs and expectations are not satisfied, they refuse to believe him and think there is no God. They were expecting the Messiah, someone who is exalting them, helping them, and filling their needs, not the one who is teaching them to serve others, share their positions with others, and be humble. When their demands were not met, they abandoned their faith in Jesus, left the church, and broke the covenant with God. One of them is the baptismal covenant, which was the very first covenant with God. Today, I'd like to revive the meaning of the baptism covenant together. First, baptism leads us to know who we are, having a clear identity as Christians. At Jesus' baptism, God said, "You are my son, the beloved." God showed who Jesus is to the world through the baptism. Likewise, we also are declared to be God's children through our baptism. As we are baptized, we receive a new identity as Christian. We are the one who has put on Christ. Therefore, during the baptism service, we announced that we are putting off the old, renouncing sin and the evil powers of the world, and pledge our loyalty to Christ. Secondly, baptism is God's work. We believe that in baptism, God initiates a covenant with us, and we are being born through water and the Spirit, so that we will live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, since it is totally God's work, it doesn't need to be repeated. Although a pastor presides over the baptism, it is primarily God's work. As a means of grace, baptism signifies God's initiative work and the process of salvation. God's grace already prevailed in our lives even before we are aware of it. It brings us to faith, and we understood it as prevenient grace. Therefore, we allow baptism for all ages, for infants too, but only once in lifetime. Thirdly, baptism is the beginning and not the end. We used to joke about baptism and confirmation as the means of driving out people because we hardly see them after baptism and after the confirmation. However, we need to remember that baptism is not a completion of our faith, but it is the beginning of a lifelong journey of faith. It makes no difference whether you were baptized as an adult or as a child. We all start on that journey at baptism. As always, it is not enough just to know that. We need to live out this baptismal covenant through our daily life. First, let us keep our Christian identity. Remember, you are the sons and daughters of God, and with you, God is well pleased. Secondly, let our life to be the stage of God so that God is working through our words and deeds. Thirdly, let us hold each other accountable in baptismal covenants. By watching over one another in love, we keep our journey even in bad times. As individuals, each one of us is weak, fragile, easy to fall down and be tempted. However, as community, we are strong. When we have a baptism at church, what do you think of that? Do you think that it is only the celebration for the one who is baptized? No. Through our baptism, through every baptism, we all celebrate our new birth in Christ Jesus and we renew our covenant in front of God. Today, as we remember the baptism of Jesus, I'd like to have a time to renew our baptism or covenant. Let us open the United Methodist Hymnal page 51 and join with me in reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. After the response to the reaffirmation of faith in page 52, please come forward to the baptism fountain.